waiting on God is not doing nothing. Trusting God is a positive act.
Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about waiting on God. Our last talk was about meeting God alone, and today I'd like to emphasize a little bit more of that word, waiting. One day, the Lord brought straight to my kitchen table a bright young woman who has one of the most contagious smiles I've ever seen. We were sitting there eating lamb sandwiches, and she was asking me what I was doing, and I mentioned that I was working on a book. "Well, what's the book about?" she said. "Loneliness," I said. And so, as we talked about the subject, it didn't sound to me as though she had a whole lot to say. So I said, "Well, Linda, are you lonely?" And she looked at me with astonishment and almost bewilderment. She said, "Lonely? Why should I be?" "Well," I said, "you're single. Most of the single people I know talk a lot about loneliness." Well, she looked surprised. Then she laughed. "Oh, no," she said. "You see, I have a sense of expectancy every day. What does the Lord want to do with me today? I have no agenda of my own." I love that phrase. I have no agenda of my own. And I realized that's the key to Linda's freedom and that joyful smile. But I went on questioning her. "Yes," she said, "she knows what loneliness feels like. It's isolation when you think you can't reach anybody. Nobody reaches you. You're cut off. You have your own agenda." "What do you mean by an agenda?" I asked. "Well, thinking there's only one solution, and God has to give you that or nothing. It's a closed mind. A closed mind is a closed heart and a closed door," she said. I decided that her joy came from her wholehearted acceptance of God's agenda. And then she went on to say, "I love solitude. As I drove up here this morning," it was a dazzling winter morning of sunshine and blue sky and blue shadows on the snow, "I didn't have the radio on. I wasn't listening to tapes. I was just quiet. I love times like that," she said. Do you love times like that? Quiet times? Do you give yourself time to look up to God for His agenda? For me to give God everything must mean that I give Him not only my body as a living sacrifice, but everything else as well. All that I am, all that I have, all that I do, and all that I suffer. That covers quite a bit of territory, doesn't it? But the particular ground that we're discussing is one form of suffering, loneliness. I've said that it can be seen as a gift. But the older I get, the more I see everything in my life as a gift, because it's part of a divine design that God is working out on a tapestry which I can see only the wrong side of, a tapestry where He's working on the upper side, and I can see just the chaos and tangle of threads on the underside. So loneliness is a part of the pattern. It's necessary in that pattern as one of the dark threads, just as necessary as the threads of beautiful colors and the threads of gold and silver. Here's the place to start. What is it that makes this ordinary female middle-aged body of mine holy and acceptable? It's simply the fact that I offer it to him. I don't have anything else to offer. And when I give him my body, I give him everything that that body contains. My mind, my heart, my will, my emotions, my temperament, my prejudices, my peculiarities, all that makes up what Elizabeth Elliot is, I present in utter abandonment, saying, Lord, here I am, take me, do anything you can with me. And God knows what to do with us when we commit ourselves totally and unreservedly and irrevocably into his hands. I had a letter from a friend of mine named Liz, and she's another one of those single women, probably around 30 years old, who has been offering up her singleness to God, and with all her heart is seeking to serve him in the place where God has put her and make her life an offering, all that she is and all that she has and all that she does and all that she suffers. But she put this question in one of her letters: how do I do this waiting stuff? It's the hardest thing in the world. And my heart goes out to Liz as it goes out to so many others who find waiting very hard. I'm one of those hard-driving, organized people that likes to plan things ahead and likes to have the plans work out exactly as I've arranged them. I like to know what's going to happen and how. And God, in his mercy and in his humor, I think, deliberately tries me again and again by making me wait. It's his agenda that really matters. It's not mine. And so I have to look up to God for his. And I said to Liz, of course, I understand how hard it is to wait. And the best thing that I could tell her was that she has to make her waiting in itself an offering. And I gave her Psalm 137. It's a favorite psalm of mine. Let me read you a few verses. Trust in the Lord and do good. Settle in the land and find safe pasture. Depend upon the Lord, and he will grant you your heart's desire. Commit your life to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your righteousness shine clear as the day, and the justice of your cause like the sun at noon. Verse 7, wait quietly for the Lord. Be patient till he comes. Do not strive to outdo the successful, nor envy him who gains his ends. Wait quietly. And that waiting involves trust, dependence, commitment, and obedience. I had to wait 5.5 years for the man I loved. That was an agonizing time. But even 5.5 minutes can be an agony. For news of a grade you made on a test, for a doctor's report, when we're waiting for what the pathologist has found. 5.5 minutes is a long time. 5.5 seconds can be a long time. When the phone rings and you're expecting bad news, before you pick that phone up, you're in agony. I remember the tremendous anticipation when I was madly in love with the man who became my second husband. I had the thrill of long-distance phone calls. That was something that never happened back in my courting days with Jim Elliot. We were living back in the 1940s and 50s, and we never even thought of making long-distance phone calls. They cost money. But Ad Leach called me almost every day, and usually just about the same time in the evening. And it was just a tingling waiting when I would wait for that phone to ring. And if the phone rang and it was somebody else, you know exactly how I felt. God moves with unhurrying pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy. And that Psalm 37, which I read to you, is a lifetime's program of faith and obedience, which entails a lot of waiting. True waiting on God is not doing nothing. Trusting God is a positive act. Living in the land, in other words, making your home, settling down, being at peace where God puts you. Have you ever done that? Maybe you're still packed. You've never really unpacked your suitcase, settled down, and been at peace where God has put you. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's something to do every day. Make the Lord your joy. Commit your life to the Lord. That can be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but I think it's something that needs to be renewed every day, that commitment. Be quiet. Wait patiently. It's almost impossible to wait patiently unless we're finding our joy in the Lord Himself. S.D. Gordon, in his little book, Quiet Talks on Prayer, says this about waiting. Waiting means steadfastness, that is, holding on. Patience, which is holding back. Expectancy, holding the face up. Obedience, holding oneself in readiness to go or do. Listening, holding quiet and still so as to hear. Waiting means steadfastness, patience, expectancy, obedience, and listening. I had a letter from another young woman. She said, I am almost 30 years old, and I just recently broke off a relationship with a guy who was not a Christian. God was saying no. Though I am still struggling with the temptation to return to him, I know in my heart that it would not be God's way. It's a struggle as each year comes and goes, and I turn 1 year older again. I wish I could know for sure if God was ever going to send a Christian man to me. It's hard to wait when you've desired always, ever since you were a teen, to be married and have a family. Please pray for me that I would trust God for this area of my life. Waiting on God is an act of faith. We conclude our talks on loneliness with this reminder. It's God's gift of love, the loneliness itself, something you receive from His hand, something you can say thank you for, something you can give back to Him as an offering. What you saw as a wilderness, you will someday see has been your gateway to joy.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.